The reading is taken from Psalm 72 and can be found on page 561 of your pew Bibles. Of Solomon. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. Make he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him, and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvellous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse.
Before I speak, I'm just going to pray. Just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful psalm. Thank you, Lord, for this promise, Lord, that one day Jesus Christ will be king over all the earth. Thank you, Lord, for this promise that one day all nations will bow down before him. It's true, Lord. We live in a fallen world. We don't yet see that, Lord. But before anything else, Lord, we ask you to be king of our hearts, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the songs we sung, Lord. Thank you for this last song which reminds us of the cross, Lord. Thank you for this cross. Thank you for what you're doing also in different parts of the world. Thank you for what you're doing in France. Thank you for the people that are here today. It's true that the work of the cross, Lord, has no limits. And you call people from all nations and all languages to yourself. Amen. Amen. As I often say when I speak in England, I've been in France for about 30 years. Problem is after 30 years, your English gets a bit rusty. The problem is when I speak in France, okay, I speak French, etc., but also I have a certain type of accent. People say to me, where do you come from? When I speak in England, they say the same thing. But I am English, 100%. I'm as English as most of you. But I said after 30 years in France, you tend to So you never forget your own language, but it gets a little bit rusty sometimes and you forget odd words. As I already said, I'm a missionary, and I repeat what I said before, a part-time missionary, just to remind you that in reality we are all missionaries. A missionary is not a certain type of person. A missionary is not someone who is an expert in mission. A missionary, quite simply, because the word means someone who is sent out, a missionary is someone who is called to witness the people around him. And you are, in certain, perhaps a slightly different way, you are all as much a missionary as I am, because you are all called to witness to Jesus Christ in your own family and also to people around you who will be with you, of course, tomorrow at work or at school, wherever you are. And sometimes witnessing in our own family can be even more difficult than going to another country. I know that from personal experience. And whether you're what you call a full-time missionary or just a Christian who is a missionary who witnesses, it's very important to be motivated, to be motivated by Jesus Christ. And that's why I chose the psalm that I chose, Psalm 72, this psalm which gives us a wonderful vision of this king who one day will be king over all the earth. Something else which is very important when you're a missionary, it's important to love and respect the people you're witnessing to. Sometimes you can go into another culture, you can, and it's true in England, there are lots of different cultures as well, I noticed that. You may not understand everything about the culture of the person, but there is one thing which is universal, of course, that is love. And people know and they feel it if you love and respect them. And you don't need a degree in missionary work to love people. You just need to know the love of Christ in your own life, of course. Again, I want to speak about the psalm we read, which gives us a vision of Jesus Christ as king over all the earth. Not just king of our lives individually, which of course he must be, but king of all the nations. In the psalm, we read about a king who will reign forever, a king in whom all nations will be blessed. Although the psalm doesn't mention the name of Jesus Christ, it is obvious when you read it that no one else fits this description. There is only one person who fits this description of someone in whom all the nations will be blessed, someone in front of whom all nations will bow down, and that name, of course, is Jesus Christ. It's true that Jesus Christ today is not king over all the earth. You just have to turn on the television to realize that. When you're in France, it's the same thing. Jesus Christ today is not king of France. But one day he will be. The Bible tells us one day all nations will bow down before him. When we say all nations, that's all nations, the large nations and the small nations. But whilst we wait for that day, of course, what interests us is today, and today Jesus Christ must be king of our hearts. When we speak about the kingdom of God, something we speak about a lot, especially in the Gospels, we speak about two realities. First of all, the kingdom of God, which is in us, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, those of us who are born again, of course. And secondly, we speak about this future kingdom in which all the nations will bow down before him. In the psalm that we read, I'm going to say five things about this king. The first thing I'm going to say is that this king will bring justice to all the earth. And it says, may he defend the afflicted, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. We live in a world where there's a lot of injustice, a lot of oppression. It's true that when we live in Europe, whether in France or Britain, there's a certain freedom we have, There is a certain justice, but in many countries there is war and oppression. I'm sure most of you have seen this terrible sight, and we see it in France every day, of all these hundreds of thousands, because apparently the numbers run into hundreds of thousands, of refugees who have started coming into the south of Europe. And why do they come? They come because in their own country there's war and oppression. And I think it's important for us to pray for these people, to be aware, to also to be ready to help them if we can, but it's sometimes very difficult to know what to do in front of the situation. But if the kingdom of God is really in our hearts, Jesus Christ, of course, requires us to be fair and just before anything else in our dealings with other people. Before anything else, justice must be in our own hearts. And Jesus Christ asks us all to love others as he loves us. You know that many people can be won to Christ, whether in the UK or in France or in any other part of the world, when they are touched by the love of Christ shown by Christians towards them. The second thing I want to say about this king is that he will bring blessings to all people. When we say blessings, that means real happiness and real satisfaction to all people. And in verse 6, it says, may he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. I love that image of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, coming down like rain on the grass, like showers that water the earth. As you know what happens when it rains, especially in springtime, the grass begins to grow and the flowers come to life. And that's an image, a beautiful image of the action of God, the action of his Spirit and his Word in the world in which we live. When God acts, when God blesses something, when God comes down, he can change any situation in this world, however bad that is. Do you believe that? However bad the situation, however difficult the situation, God is at work in our lives. He's at work in your lives. He's at work in our lives. He's at work in lives of people in France to change them and to make them better people. Because French people, just like you, need God to work in their lives, need God to restore their lives, need God to remove what stops them from becoming the people Jesus Christ wants us to be. And in France, I have seen some terrible social situations. I've seen them in England as well. In some ways, it's not different. When you meet the people, when you see the situations, you realize that many people today have completely messed up lives. And that has nothing to do with origin. That's nothing to do with culture. It's, before anything else, of course, people's need of God. And that's something which I think we must always be very clear on. It's true, people can be affected by social conditions, etc. Before anything else, people need to know God. The third thing I want to say about this king is that he will bring peace to all the earth. In verse 7, in his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity, or peace in other versions, abound till the moon is no more. Even if we have peace, have had peace in Europe over the past 70 years, it was mentioned before, and we're great, very grateful for this. We know, or you know if you've studied history, that the history of our world is marked by war and oppression. It's marked by continuous strife and war. When you've lived in France for a while, you realize that the French are still quite traumatized by the terrible events of the First and the Second World Wars. At the moment, I think like in England, there are a lot of programs on television, because last year it was the 100th anniversary of the First World War, and this year it's the 70th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. But when you're in France, you realize that the French were traumatized by these terrible events, especially the occupation of the Second World War. But we have this hope that one day Jesus Christ will put an end to all of that. But while we wait for that day, of course, Jesus Christ promises us to have peace in our own hearts. And having peace in our own hearts is a very important thing, because when Jesus Christ is King of our hearts, he promises us his peace. Where do quarrels come from? And ultimately, where do wars come from? As the letter of Jack says, they come from within us. They come from quarrels, etc., which are within us. And of course, Jesus Christ, he came to solve the problem of our hearts, like we sung in that beautiful song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The problem is the human heart. The problem is not the French. The problem is not the English. I could even add, the problem is not the Scottish. The problem is us. It's in our hearts. And if Jesus Christ puts peace in our own hearts, there will also be peace between others and peace among the nations. Obviously, we have to be realistic about the world we live in, but each one of us must seek the peace of Jesus Christ in our own hearts. The fourth thing I want to say about this king is that he will be king of all the nations. Verse 8, may he rule from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Verse 11, may all kings bow down before him and all nations serve him. There are many human attempts to unite the nations. It's true, it's better to have peace than to have war. But at the same time, we know that all our attempts are limited, because ultimately every nation defends its own interests. Do you know what Churchill said one day about that? Some of you know. He said, "Every nation, no nation has friends. Nations only have interests." And that is true. That is true today. And it has always been like that. In Jesus Christ, we have a unity which crosses, I would say, all international borders. And for me, one of the most rewarding and enriching things about working with the gospel in another country is to experience this unity which we have in Jesus Christ. This unity which has no borders. It's true, in another country there can be the barrier of a language, but once you go through the barrier of a language, you realize that people are the same everywhere. I notice this especially with my own children. They speak French. It's funny, you know, children, you know, they argue. I suppose your children argue, do they? Do they fight? Or your grandchildren? Do they argue, they fight? French children, exactly the same. They say, she did this, he did that, she pulled my hair. He's been on the computer 10 minutes more than me. It's not fair. You always defending her, etc. And in France, it's the same. The only difference is they say it in French. But when you listen to it, it's exactly the same thing. So my conclusion is people are basically the same everywhere. And I'm sure it's the same in any country. I'm sure it's the same in Japan, China. Children fight. And human nature is basically the same. All people are human beings, whatever their origin. All people have the same feelings, the same emotions, the same needs. And of course, all people have the need to know God. All people are sinners. All people must come to Jesus Christ. All people have this need to know God. And without that, they are lost. They are lost in this life. And they're also lost in the life to come. To go from Britain to France, you need a passport, because obviously countries have to control their borders, but in Jesus Christ there is no passport, or on the passport it's marked the Kingdom of Heaven, you can say. It's another form of passport, and with this passport you're welcome wherever you go, because you're in the same country. It's the same king who is the same leader in a way. And it's true that verse 11, this king that which speaks of this moment when all kings will bow down before him and all nations will serve him. It's true that this verse, this promise, and there are others like it in the Bible, this promise is for the future. But in our unity amongst ourselves, amongst Christians, we should already have a foretaste of this wonderful day when all nations and all people will bow down before him. And that reminds us also as Christians of the need to be united together, to be united as Christians. It's often a shame that sometimes Christians are the first people to divide on certain points. We don't always agree on everything, but Jesus Christ wants us to be united and to have him as King of all our hearts and to bow down and to come before him who is our King. And the last thing I want to say about this King is that he will be King forever. It says here, may his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. I don't know how long the sun is going to continue. Our scientists tell us that it's maybe billions of years, but in reality they don't know. And if the sun goes out, there'll be others probably will replace it, but that's another question. It's a very complicated subject no one can answer. Then when we speak about that in the Bible, of course it means forever, forever without end. I noticed you had a general election in this country and that you have chosen the second term in office for the current government. It's important, of course, to pray for the government, whatever our personal views. But I want to tell you that in Britain, governments hold out much better than they do in France. In France, your chances of survival are not two terms. It's very low. It's much lower than that. Because in France, it's a country where public opinion can swing completely against you. You can be elected with 50% of votes. A few months after, you have 20% in the public opinion polls. The next election, you're gone. And there will be an election again in France in about 2 years, and probably Mr. Sarkozy will come back, and then again after a few months, no one will like him and someone else, etc. It goes on like that. All this shows that human government will not last forever. David Cameron, it's his second term, but he won't be there forever, might a third, I don't know. But human governments are fallible. Human governments are human. Human governments make mistakes. Human governments everywhere miscalculate events because they don't control them in reality. One moment, people can applaud you. They're glad to see you. But after, a week later, they're asking for your head, a bit like Jesus when he came into Jerusalem. He was there. The crowd applauded him, and the same crowd crucified him a week later. But the psalm tells us that Jesus Christ will be King forever. He will endure, and that all men will be blessed by him. What I like about this psalm, when talking about spreading the gospel to other countries, what I like about it is its universal application. When we read the Bible, this keeps on coming up. Comes up in the Old Testament, it comes up in the New Testament, that one day God will bring all nations to him. And of course, in Jesus Christ, there is no barrier. Jesus Christ is the King for all people everywhere. And it's in Jesus Christ alone that all people will find their ultimate happiness and their ultimate satisfaction in life. Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone, nations will find the reply to many of their questions they have, because each nation is different. Each nation has a different history. Each nation has certain questions about things. But in Jesus Christ, the Bible says each nation will find a reply to these questions. You might say, okay, it's okay for you. You're a missionary. You live and work in another country, you can maybe see the gospel from a slightly different perspective, but we are all members of the universal body of Christ. And in this world, we all share together in the work of spreading the gospel. And I know that here many of you, through your prayers and giving, support this universal work of the gospel. And I must say, when I'm here, I'm very grateful for your prayers. Perhaps when you pray sometimes, I know it's difficult, you pray for someone in a far off land, you don't see the person, but I can assure you we are very grateful. And I want to thank you also for the very generous gift you have given us to help us in the work which shows concretely this unity. When I'm in Marseille, I often say to people in our church, this church is like an iceberg. Here, you are here today, you only see the top of it, but underneath there's a whole hidden part of all of a lot of people who pray and who give very generously, which allows us to be here today. I say that because, of course, in a place like Marseille, when lots of people come to Christ, they come from scratch, they come from absolutely no Christian background at all. It's completely new to them, and everything has to be explained, and sometimes that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience, and sometimes it takes many years. I would also like to encourage those of you who may be thinking about mission, about taking an interest in the cause of the gospel in other countries. Maybe Jesus Christ has a call on your life to serve him in another country. Why not? When I was young, I never dreamt I would one day be in Marseille. I used to, when I was young, Marseille, I read about Marseille in Tintin books. Do you know Tintin books? There's one when he goes to Marseille, I can't remember which one it is, but in the middle of Marseille, something happens as always. And I know they're in the middle of Marseille. And that's how I knew Marseille from that point of view. And when I was young as well, I said I didn't like French at school. If you told me one day I'll be in Marseille, I would never have believed you. That shows that our God is a God of surprises, and we must always be ready to be surprised by God in our lives. I hope you are ready to be surprised by God. I hope your faith has not become a routine, because it's very easy when you've been a Christian a long time for that to become a kind of routine. But I hope that you're always ready to be surprised by God in your life. That's not just for young people, it's also for old people. It's for everyone. God always wants to surprise us and maybe show us new things in our life, and perhaps things we're not always prepared for, but he will prepare us for it. One thing is sure in all of that, whether you're called to go to another country or not, we are all missionaries wherever we are, because we're missionaries there before anything else, in our own families, and tomorrow morning you will also be missionaries where you are, at work, at school, anywhere, maybe in difficult situations, maybe in easy situations, I don't know. Just like me, tomorrow morning I'll be back in Marseille, and I'll be also a missionary there. So may God help us all to be faithful witnesses to his gospel in this world. Amen.